summer holiday, doing things they always wanted to. So we're going on a summer holiday to make our dreams come true for me and you.
I think we all enjoyed that, didn't we? Because it is the start of the school summer holidays, and I know people are talking about what they're doing, and we are going on a as a church, we're going on a holiday together. As you are, I'm not, but... So I thought it would be good to sort of think about holidays. And I started to look up a definition of a holiday. So I got my dictionary that my mother bought me when I was at school, that she got at a jumble sale, and it's actually 1906. So in 1906, this is what the definition of a holiday is. I wrote it out so it was easier to sing. It is a consecrated day, a religious festival, a day for the commemoration of some event, a day of idleness and amusement. Now, has anybody got a phone that they can look up what a modern definition of a holiday is? They'd like to take a bit of audience participation here. It's warning you, there'll be a bit more audience participation coming. Anybody found a definition they want to share? Just in case it's different. We don't have idleness and amusement anymore, or... Simon, did you found it?
Yeah.
Right.
An extended period of leisure and recreation, especially one spent away from home or in travelling.
Yeah. So... Yes, it's expanded a bit, hasn't it? But, day of festivity and recreation, sort of holiday could be Christmas, Easter, or your own personal holiday. So we used to have a holiday that we called Dad's Day, which we remembered when the day that my father died, which happily was in June, so it was a nice day for going out and about. And we'd do something that Dad would have done. So we'd go to go around a National Trust garden or something, but something that we could remember him and have a happy time, something positive. And so holidays aren't always, remembering things can be happy or they can be sad, a bit of mixture. And now I'm going to go, so I thought I would go and see what says in the Bible about holidays. And the first mention of a holiday is at the very beginning of the Bible. Well, not quite the actual, but Genesis 2. Anybody want to read me Genesis 2? Just a few verses 1 to 3. This is a lot of audience participation here. You're expecting me to do the work? I'm sorry. 1 to 3. Genesis 2. Yeah, so the first holiday, or holy day, which is what holiday comes from, was the day, seventh day, or the day when God had finished doing all his work. So whether you think of it as days as in the way, the 24 hours that we would do, or whether it's a period of time when he's finished his work, but that's when God says it, and he said it was a good thing to do. So much so that come in Exodus, when he's starting to say things. If anyone wants to read me Exodus 20, verses 8 to 11. Don't all jump at once.
Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work.
Yeah. So God has told us that, you know, you must have a holiday. It is good for you. And he says it again in Exodus 34 and again in Exodus 35. So I think he's pretty strong on that holidays are things to be had. And it can sound a bit heavy, can't it? So I was thinking, right, a holiday is a time of rest, a time to stop and think. It doesn't mean to say that I've got to have overnight oats instead of porridge for breakfast because I'm not allowed to cook my breakfast. I don't think that's what God's saying. He's saying, take some time out to stop and think. And to think about me, because it's holy. It's a day when you've got to think about me. Because in the everyday, we can sometimes forget about God or not think about him in every single aspect. So he might want to say something different to us. So he wants us to stop and think. And now, God is always with us. And so I want to read, two volunteers to read a bit of Psalm 139, just to show the difference. So Mark's my prepared volunteer. Can I have another volunteer, please? Come up and stand beside Mark. This is, I want somebody that knows God, Jesus, and loves Jesus, and loves God's presence. So Mark is pretending here, and he's going to read Psalm 139, verse 7 to 10, and then Brian is going to read the same bit from the same passage. Don't matter which person you give, but I want to just to see how, depending on how your attitude towards God is, how the same passage can almost mean different things or come across differently. So, over to you.
So, is there any place I can go to avoid your spirit? To be out of your sight? If I climb to the sky, you're there. If I go underground, you're there. You find me in a minute. You're always there waiting.
Yeah, so this is someone who didn't like God, who doesn't know God, who thinks God's going to hurt him. He can't escape. It's frightening. Now, if you love God, the same passage comes across like this.
Then I said to myself, oh, he even sees me in the dark.
No, read the same bit. Exactly the same bit.
Oh, okay, sorry. Is there any place I can go to avoid your spirit, to be out of your sight? If I climb to the sky, you're there. If I go underground, you're there. If I flew on morning's wings, the far western horizon, you'd find me in a minute. You're already there, waiting.
You see? See the difference of the, yes, I got the confidence that God is always with me, opposed to the fear that, oh no, God's going to find me, I can't get away. And it's the same bit of scripture. And that's why it's always good to stop and think and read around the bits of scripture. So where I was always told that a text out of context is a pretext, i.e. you can grab a few sentences from the Bible and twist it to mean whatever you want it to. But if you start, so that's why I give you the references and really suggest that you read around them to make sure that what I'm saying to you is what God wants to say to you, and that I'm not getting anything. If I've made a mistake, you can come and tell me afterwards, because I don't want to put what God said to me as what God's saying to you, because it might be something different. So I would recommend you take some time out today or whenever to read the whole of Psalm 139, because I found it quite a reassuring one at times. To read Genesis 1 and 2, just to find out how amazing God is, so that when you go on your holiday and you see the beauty of creation, you think about the Creator. And to read Exodus and how God is with his people, guiding his people, so that when things are bleak, you can see how there is a way out, and that God will guide you, whether it's in the day with a cloud, or at night with a shining column. God is always there and he's got guidance for you. And that's about all I wanted to say. But so what we've got as our craft activities is I've got some paper and some paper clips and some pencils. And those of you would like to make some paper aeroplanes, you can draw on them to make them individual. And we will then have a competition to see whose paper aeroplane goes the furthest. If you want to. You don't have to. You don't have to be competitive. And if you want to make more than one paper aeroplane, you can do. And if you want to pretend you're on holiday and you're just at the beach looking at rocks, we have some rocks over there which we had on a display during lockdown. And some of them are decorated, and some of the they've all been decorated, and some of the decorations are a bit faded. So if you wanted to go and choose a rock, either one that's got a message on it or one that you want to add a message to and take it home as a memory, then you can do. But otherwise, so if you want to just sit and reflect on God or chat about your holidays with your friends, then let's do so.